Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Let's see. So today we're going to make you rich. Oh, it's so much better. It is so much. So I'm 63 and I'm turning 64 pretty soon, actually. And so I have some, you know, modest retirement that I've been able to collect over the years. And but I have the following investment philosophy, Jeffrey. I only look at them when they're going up.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. I only check to see how my,
you can't be down if you don't know,
small retirement nest egg is doing when it's going up. That's my view. Only good news. And it is so nice that what has really been the focus of my retirement nest egg, which is your wagers, Jeffrey's bets, it is so nice now that I can look at them again. Because as anyone who listens to this show regularly, and I appreciate it if you do, understands, before every football season, I go to the bank. Now, I go to a credit union because that's where I'm. That's what I believe in now. I go to Leaders Credit Union, and I get 10 crisp $100 bills, and I hand them over to Jeffrey, and I say, "Go forth and invest." And he has, and it's done very well for me. And I'm a buy and hold long term investor, so it doesn't bother me if there's a blip here or there. And for the first 5 years, Jeffrey, how many years have we been doing this now?
Let's see. This will be year 9
of the investments.
I'm going to say the first six years.
Okay. First 6 years, we killed it. Absolutely killed it. The Jeffrey Investment Fund killed it. And then, you know, arrival of a child, some distractions, changing face of college football, Nick Saban's departure. A lot of things went into
Alabama not covering.
Alabama not covering. We didn't do as
well.
We're
winning.
We didn't do as well over the last 2 years. But Jeffrey had a very, very searingly honest summer of self-reflection and self-scouting. And he has come back in a big way. Jeffrey, what's the current where are we now?
Jeff, your $1,000 is now $1,795.
Holy smokes, ladies and gentlemen. That's fantastic. It's now $1,700 in 2 short weeks. And really, one was only half a week. And that one, you went 1-1.
Correct.
So we had a...
We had to tip the dealer.
We had a big weekend last weekend. And so later on in the second hour, we will get to Jeffrey's bets again. How's the card looking, Jeffrey?
Jeff, so I don't love this week.
I don't love it either from a spectating perspective. There's some intrigue.
There's not as obviously the volume of games. I do think there's an interesting game in almost every window, which is all.
And that's
what
matters.
That's all I can
hope
for.
Matters. Yeah. Okay. So I do wonder a little bit. Last week on Friday, Drew did the show.
Yep.
I thought about taking today. You know, you don't want to mess with a good thing.
Right.
I thought about taking today off and then letting Drew do it again.
Yep.
Just because the synergy that you all have.
I appreciate that.
If I had done it, it would have been only self-sacrificing.
Right, no, that's for the team. That's putting the team over I.
Right, but so there you go.
Me.
We'll do that in the second hour. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We got Jeffrey's Pets. And, of course, coming up in the next segment, Jason Smith's going to join us. Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. Last night was fantastic. It was fantastic on all sorts of levels. It was one of those nights where I wanted to be three places at once. I certainly wanted to be in front of my TV. And I did end up there in front of my TV to watch what was, we have to say, a really intriguing first night of NFL football.
Absolutely.
Yes? Riveting.
Before an offensive snap was run, we had a season-ending injury. And we had a player spitting on another, perhaps maybe two players spitting on each other, and ejection.
it was, and it continued from there.
Correct.
And so it was a wildly entertaining game. The lightning delay, like whatever. People got their Ben Franklin jokes. A lot of Ben Franklin references last night. And ultimately the Eagles prevailed. We'll talk about that in a moment. So I did end up there, but I started out the evening. I had to choose between whether to go over to see the Memphis women's soccer program take on the University of Tennessee, or whether I had to go to Crosstown, where they were, we had the debut of premiere of Memphis to the Mountain, which is the documentary we've been talking about the kids from Memphis Rocks climbing Mount Kenya, and I really did desperately want to be in both places. In the end, I said, you know what, this women's soccer team, even though there's a lot of turnover with this women's soccer team, they've got I think did Brooks say 24 freshmen and sophomores? I think he said 24 freshmen and sophomores. Is that right? Let me just 25.
A youth movement.
25. And it was supposed to be a rebuilding year. They don't rebuild. They reload. And I said to myself, there will be more riveting soccer games. Like, as good as they are, I can guarantee that there are going to be more meaningful soccer games this season for that. So I've said, and there's only going to be one of these premieres. So I went to the premiere. I missed a terrific soccer tilt. Now, mind you, it was scoreless. But the read John Varlas's recounting of it and talked to people who were there. And 2,281 fans, including Penny Hardaway and Tim Howard, were there. It was taut. It was tight. It was a nail-biter, Jeffrey. Both squads had their opportunities. And really impressive unbeaten streak now. Home unbeaten streak continues for the University of Memphis women. By all accounts, it was a great night out there. It's really kind of fun and remarkable to see what has happened with women's soccer in this community, and what Brooks is doing is very little short of miraculous. So hat tip to them. In the meantime, I was over at Crosstown.
Also, just also a quick shout out. I know the sample size is small because the season isn't like the Tennessee keeper has not allowed a goal.
Is that right?
She has a 1,000 save percentage.
Well,
that was insane.
That's crazy. They've played six. That's six. They played six games now. So anyway, so that's fabulous. That's one where it feels like everyone can leave happy, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think you're kind of a little bummed because like they had a PK.
Yep.
And but I mean, yeah, I mean. That was a great atmosphere. Like if you're a recruit or something, you see all that. Like that, how could you not be intoxicated?
Yeah, it's just crazy that at the University of Memphis they have built this women's soccer power. Whatever you're doing out there in Memphis, whatever you are doing, whether it is in real estate or some other small business or what, if you ever doubt that you can get something done in Memphis, don't, because Brooks is building a women's soccer power has built a women's soccer power at the University of Memphis with creativity and vision and determination and all of that. And so I do think it's an example for us all. So anyway, so that seemed like it was a hell of a lot of fun for everyone who was there. I was at Crosstown and they threw this thing together at the last minute because they had to get permission to show this Hulu film. It drops tonight on Hulu if you want to see it, and it's a three-parter. They showed the third and final episode last night, which is 58 minutes or something, but they didn't get permission to do it till a week ago. So we had Christine and Tom Shadiak from Rocks in here 2 days ago, and they've been putting out the word. But have you ever been to the theater across town?
No, I've not.
It's a big theater. And they were like, are people going to come? And it was sold out. Again, tickets were free. But you had to sign up and get a ticket. It was absolutely packed. And I didn't watch the whole series. They just showed the third installment. But it's funny. It's triumphant. It's heartbreaking, particularly when you learn that, Jermon Johnson was subsequently shot and killed here in Memphis. But it is absolutely, again, another example of what can be done here in Memphis. It really will break your heart, and it will also fill your heart. And then the other part of this is, and this is just true, is that you would love it if, because let's be honest, a climbing gym in South Memphis, it's always going to be a struggle to keep its doors open.
Sure.
Right? And the first scene, for whatever reason, the first scene of this third installment is they're doing a fundraiser. And there's an auctioneer up there, like a whatever. Okay, who wants to give, this is the big one, who wants to give $10,000? Hold your paddle up. And nobody holds their paddle up. Yeah, well, okay, let's, who wants to give $5,000? Hold their paddle up. And nobody gives their paddle, holds their paddle up. And it goes on like that. And I wasn't, obviously this is a film of something that happened a year and a half ago. I wasn't in the, I still felt like it was really uncomfortable.
Right.
Watching no one give money. And so it's going to be a struggle for that place always. It just is. It's the nature of a lot of nonprofits, honestly. The Daily Memphian, you need contributions to keep the doors open. And you would have loved it if at the end of the Hulu film, the series, as people all across the country find out about this miraculous climbing gym in South Memphis, you would have loved it if you could add a QR code or some little to give whatever. Well, that's not happening. They're not allowing that. And I get it. Like if they do that for one, they probably sure have to do it for every all. But it's really painful because people will be motivated to support this place when you see this inspirational film. Last night they did have the QR code and they did ask people to contribute. And so if you are of a mind to, after you watch the film, you could get together with friends and watch it as a group, have a watch party, and watch it, as fellow Memphians. It's terrific. And they also do need your support.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So you had the soccer on the one hand, which was unbelievably great. You had the event at Crosstown, which was unbelievably great. And we had the football game, which was really a hell of a lot of fun. Do you give Dak credit, partial credit, for the Jalen Carter dismissal?
So I did not see the...
No, we've seen it subsequently, though.
Right.
I didn't see it at the time.
I did not see it until SportsCenter. After the game, when Dak had gone to the podium,
there were two spitters.
So, I mean, also as someone that played baseball, like, yes, I probably spit too much. I'm not buying Dak's, like, Dak, when they had the view, like, Dak is looking right at him. Like, it's kind of like it's
but
on,
it
and
is,
he's not obviously spitting on.
He did,
Carter.
And that's the thing. It's very clear that, I mean, it would have taken if he was spitting on Carter,
right?
It would have had. I mean, he was a good distance away. It would have been an impressive spit. Right?
It would have been the Seinfeld, like the second loogie.
Right, yes. Exactly. So it would have been impressive. He was very clearly spitting in his direction.
Yes.
As a way of communicating disdain or
and
something,
looking right at him.
It was not a spit on him. It was a spit toward him.
At him or yeah,
toward him. I think it was a spit.
It was a warning spit.
It was a warning. He fired a warning spit. Yeah, that's exactly right. It was a warning spit. And I think you are allowed to. What if he had been right there and it spit at his feet but not hit his shoe? Unsportsmanlike?
I think so. I think if you spit on, I think so.
No. I think any spit that doesn't hit the victim, the target, is not an unsportsmanlike spit. People can spit. You're allowed to spit towards people.
I mean, there is the weird reality of like, this is football. Like, they're
people spit
disgusting,
so much disgusting
body
whatever,
fluid,
yeah.
Everything.
It's only when you spit literally.
But see, we can't. Then you're having to legend. I think it's if you make contact. Because
what if you're just a bad spitter? Oh, no. I agree. I agree. You have to make. Oh.
If it's a shoe, I think it counts.
Oh, no. I said, but he missed the shoe. I said, towards he shoots
right, but
down.
I thought you said if he had hit the shoe.
No, doesn't hit the shoe. I said, doesn't hit the shoe.
Okay.
Here's the one. If he had literally, how about this? Standing in front of him, Huck's a big loser. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you can see him summoning up the spit.
Yep.
He fires a big spit. He's directly mm-hmm. at him. But Jalen Carter ducks, moves his head, not unlike the president, right? Like it doesn't hit his ear though. Doesn't
with
hit
Bush
his ear.
With Bush with the shoe?
Well, whatever. No, I was that could be Bush with the shoe. I was talking about
grazing Trump. Yeah, with the ear.
But this does not graze. This is
a complete miss.
It's only a miss because you can literally see the pure athleticism of Jalen Carter moving his head out of the way. Otherwise, it would have hit him directly on the forehead.
I think you got to count it.
Count it as a
you were intending to hit him.
Okay, so it isn't contact; it's intent.
Correct.
I think that's right. There's no question that Dak to me should not have been penalized for his spit, even though it was a antagonistic spit.
Yes.
And then Jalen, he absolutely gets credit for antagonizing. That is a 100%. I don't think he could have foreseen it, but it is what inspired it. Jalen Carter only thought to spit because he had been spat towards, right?
While it's not his fault because he made some great throws last night, it was the biggest play that Dak made all night.
It was probably the biggest play he made
because
all night.
Because the other thing that stood out, and I get it, the Eagles didn't play their guys in preseason, but it did make you realize, like, without Jalen Carter, that defense can be pedestrian, but he is such an absolute monster. It's a lot like the Chiefs and Chris Jones.
What's infuriating for those of us who root for other teams is that everyone saw this coming on draft night. You're
yes.
like, come on, you are not letting him drop. You morons. You're not what?
And even worse, you can see it coming like the Eagles are going to take.
Who'd the Bears take? They took the offensive tackle from Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, come on,
is that
man.
The 21 draft?
It's weirdly enough, this is the draft where the Eagles and the Cowboys traded. The Cowboys traded up to 10. The Eagles traded back to 12. The Cowboys took DeVonta Smith at
yep.
10. The Eagles took DeVonta Smith at 10. And then with the Cowboys pick, the Eagles took Jalen Carter.
So the
at
Bear,
12.
The Bears drafted after. They took Darnell.
Oh. Okay.
Darnell Wright. But the Falcons.
But did they trade down?
Yes. The Bears
they
traded.
They could have traded.
So the Bears had New Orleans' pick, and they traded that to Philly, and then they swapped 9 and 10.
Just outrageous. Just outrageous. Who else went in that draft ahead of Jalen Carter? This is outrageous.
So this is the Bryce Young draft.
Okay.
CJ.
I can. That's fine.
Yep.
That's fine. You want your quarterback?
Yep.
Whatever. I get that.
Will Anderson.
Very good,
all good
player. All good. No problem.
Anthony Richardson. Still time.
At least you're trying to do something there. Like I thought it was stupid at the time, and I'll still think it was stupid, but they needed a quarterback. You know, the different rules apply, right?
Yep.
I'm all for taking quarterback swings, because without one, you're dead. So far, defensible.
Witherspoon, who's been a good player, good corner.
He's been a very good corner. Yep. And these guys are tremendous players who have no skeletons.
Yes.
As Jalen Carter.
No, yeah, exactly.
So great players with no skeletons.
Yep.
Like, whatever. Maybe Jalen Carter's better than Will Anderson, but I can understand taking Will Anderson ahead of him. Go ahead.
Safer, for sure. Paris Johnson to the Cardinals, the tackle.
What has he done anything?
He's been okay.
Okay, bad pick.
Tyree Wilson, which was a stretch at the time, and still.
Oh, that was a horrible
yeah.
pick, right? He was the TCU
Texas Tech yes.
defensive end. Just, oh,
yes.
That's a horrible yep. pick. Defensive line, horrible pick.
Shout out Raiders. Then Bijan.
I mean, that's fine.
And then Carter.
Actually, it's not as bad. Literally, of those picks, there's only one that's a disaster and two that you would, that's a hell of a good draft.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a good draft. But so, yes, you got so the Cardinals and the Raiders, which is maybe why they're the Cardinals and the Raiders.
Without
Jalen Carter, who was then suckered into spitting, he said, and this is a promise I can believe won't happen again. I do believe that. I do not believe that Jalen Carter will again, before a ball game ever begins, be tossed out for spitting.
I can't go there with Jalen Carter. No.
You can't rule it out?
No.
So it's interesting. I did tell you yesterday that I thought maybe the Cowboys are underrated and maybe they won't be awful. And I told you that the Eagles had issues at corner, which they do. Yep. Dory Jackson was absolutely lit up.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
You don't say.
So, but do you, and obviously, if it hadn't been for the Miles Sanders fumble and the CD drops, like, they could have won that game. But do you discount all of it because there was no Jalen Carter?
I mean, I don't discount all of it because I do think what we saw is that Dallas offensively is still going to be pretty good. And while the Cowboys were getting shredded in the first half, I thought they made some nice adjustments. Like, I don't want Eberflus as my head coach. I don't have a problem with Eberflus running the defense.
So, offensively first, see, that's the interesting question. Dak was good. Dak is good. You know, Dak was good. Dak is good. I don't believe you're going to have CD with four drops. Two of them were pretty egregious.
I've never had the CD. He has the drops.
Two of them were absolutely egregious.
I mean, what targets, Dak seven could catches. Not, the post pattern, Dak could not have put a better ball out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was insane. Right.
But in terms of, so the running backs averaged 5.4 rushes a carry, 5.4 yards a carry. That's because Jalen Carter's gone, right?
Jalen Carter's gone, and I think you could clearly tell the Eagles were worried about the secondary. And so they were keeping extra safeties.
And then defensively, what was interesting is, I've heard it both ways. Like, they were very clearly, I mean, they let Jalen Hurts beat them, right?
Oh, there's no question.
They let him beat them with their legs, and is that smart? I mean, they therefore took away. There was no deep passing. You didn't have, you look at what the receivers did.
A.J. Brown was just getting a great workout in.
A.J. Brown had one catch for 8 yards at the very end. That was it. And so do you credit the Eagles for stopping the bleeding, all that stuff? But in the meantime, they let Jalen Hurts beat him with their legs.
So I thought the best adjustment that they made was they were clearly worried about keeping him in the pocket. They did not do a good job of that, so credit to Hurts on that. They then adjusted from playing man with bringing pressure and keeping him in the pocket, and they played zone. And then after that...
But you wonder why they did it to begin with. Like, didn't you know if you're playing?
I think they thought they were going to get home.
Well, that was a mistake. One sack.
Yep.
So, and then it was an interesting night. Depending what where you are on Jalen Hurts, it absolutely affirmed what you believe about Jalen Hurts. Like if you are, and the unsportsmanlike show is like this. They say Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback. And he's not number five. That's the line from Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, okay? Meaning they think he's better than Burrow, okay? If that's what you believe, you're like, well, look at this. Won again. They win again because of Jalen Hurts. The receivers do nothing. No one does anything. Jalen Hurts, 19 to 23, incredibly efficient, but he destroys them with their legs. He scores touchdowns when he needs to. He gets on third down at the end when they needed the key third down.
Which I still have. That was the worst defensive call of the night. They went empty.
What did you think they were going to do? They went empty. What did you think they were going to do? And so there he is. Jalen Hurts, winner, does everything he has to do, incredibly efficient, beats you with the legs, top five quarterback, and he's not number five. Or you say, come on, man. A.J. Brown, like, one catch for 8 yards, and sure, they did enough. They scored 24 points. That is not a performance that gets you to rank with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. It's just and Lamar. It's not that kind of a performance. It is So what did you make of it?
I'm closer to the. If they would drop the top five thing and not number five, I think he was great last night.
He was great last night.
Because on top of that,
he was great last.
He actually had the Super Bowl throw, and obviously the stage matters. The post pattern he threw in the first half was one of the best throws I've ever seen him make. And so, but like that's the other thing. He runs an effective offense. Like, I give him credit for that, but my whole deal with him is I don't think he's plug and play. Like, I think he works great for what they need him to do and that team. But I don't think if you go and you put him on
the Bengals, the Bengals would not be as good.
Correct. And I think if you go put him on the Cardinals,
on the Bills, the Bills would not be as
good. But do I think he executes an offense that is not normal from what we see in the NFL, but he is very good at it.
So what do you make for those people, including Chris Harrington, who ended up with Saquon Barkley as their first?
He got in the end zone.
What?
He got in the end zone.
He did get in the end zone, but it was a relatively quiet night. So on a season when a lot of people expect him to take a step back just because of the beating, the usage that he had last year, how are you feeling about it if you have Saquon? Do you have Saquon?
I do not. I also don't have Christian McCaffrey, so T's and P's to everyone out there. I mean, I think it goes back to the first point that we were talking about. A.J. Brown and the receivers did not get going for the most part, and Saquon didn't get going. Well, what that tells me is that the Cowboys believed coming into the game, we have to make Hurts beat us. He did.
And he did. He did. You feel better if you're a... you're happy if you're an Eagles fan. You lost Jalen Carter and you got the win. Right?
Yeah. And
you're totally happy.
And a game that your defense was very vulnerable.
You're going to have to figure out the second corner situation.
And you put the game away.
And you put the game away. Yeah, no, you're happy if you're an Eagles fan. And I think you're not unhappy if you're a Cowboys fan.
I agree.
So there you go. All right. We may talk about more of that. We'll certainly talk about more in the NFL later. Tonight we got Brazil.
I just want one more.
Yeah.
Since 2022, I wanted to confirm my brain. CeeDee Lamb. Since 2021, CeeDee Lamb leads the NFL in drops.
Is that right?
My receiver's got to catch the football.
Do you think Jalen Carter will be suspended?
I do think where he was smart, and let's be clear, it's very difficult to be smart when you spit on a player in front of not one, but two officials.
Right.
By doing it before the game, essentially before the game gets going, that's essentially a one-game suspension.
I think, and plus...
I'm worried about...
I have a vested interest here.
Well, they play the Chiefs next week. So.
I need him to be back. Hey, the guy paid his price. The guy paid a heavy price. He missed the whole game. That is effectively a one-game suspension. And he was baited into it.
Yep.
He should absolutely play against the Chiefs.
The only thing that I'm questioning, it appears that the NFL is going to make a mission statement of
sportsman
classy. Like all class, and so are they going to try to make a statement? Well, and also, you know, they got to protect the Chiefs.
All right, we got Chiefs Chargers tonight in Brazil. That's 3.5 is the line there. Do you have any conviction about that one?
So, did you see what Goodell was doing on Wednesday? Goodell was on the Today Show.
Okay,
and if anyone has studied Goodell, like I have.
Uh-huh.
Number one, he has two rules.
Okay.
Softballs only.
Uh-huh.
And questions that he plants.
Okay.
Everything has to be pre-approved.
Okay.
Savannah Guthrie
uh-huh.
brought up Taylor Swift in the halftime show.
The Super Bowl halftime show.
Correct.
Yeah.
He gave like a very rehearsed non-committal. You could talk me into they announced that she's doing the halftime show.
And they announce it.
I'm going to say after the game. Don't want it to overshadow the game. So also, I think you have to bet the Chiefs tonight.
And it's Super Bowl 60.
Yeah.
It's pretty like round number.
If I were advising Taylor, I would say this is not a great venue for the Super Bowl halftime show because it's not dark yet. So the lights don't look as good. The theatrics of it all don't look as good. But I'm sure she's also
go ahead, capitalize, baby.
Why not?
Yeah. So therefore you think the fix will be in for the Chiefs?
I mean,
they need the Chiefs.
I mean, when is it not?
When is it not?
I mean, they tried in the Eagles. It's just the Eagles beat them so badly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They
couldn't leave it up to the officials.
They beat the hell out of them. All right, we have other matters to talk to. Again, Jason Smith coming up next, then Chris Harrington. Then we will do Jeffrey's bets. Let's touch a little bit on college football. Obviously, we'll do more of it coming up when we talk about your bets. First of all, Memphis, Georgia State.
Yep.
It's kind of unfortunate, right? I mean, this is a game that's been pushed back and
yeah.
pushed back and pushed back. It's kind of do you see danger here for the University of Memphis?
Based on what I saw last week from Georgia State, I do not. Now,
they've been pesky in the past.
Yeah, I think they have some like institutional issues. I mean, at one point their head coach left in the middle of spring practice to go be an assistant coach.
Okay. So you think it's okay, and then we also
let me say this. If there is problems, they have bigger problems.
We got the news yesterday that the next year's Arkansas football game
yep.
was to be at Arkansas is pushed back to 2030, and so Memphis needs a new game next year. First, do you believe that game will ever be played?
So I know John put out that he doesn't believe it. I actually didn't. I think they'll play it. I do think, like,
I certainly don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they will not play it.
I get what they were doing.
I mean, they could have eaten it yesterday when they made this announcement if they didn't plan
100%. I also don't think schools are going to be in the business. If everything stays like it is, I just don't think schools are going to be in the business of spending $3 million to not play a game.
To that point, Wall Street Journal had a story today about coaches giving back money and directing it to players, right? And the example that they led with was Brent Venables, who gave back $1 million, didn't give back. He donated $1 million, I think, to a player fund. Brian Kelly did the same thing. Mike Norvell, $4.5 million. And Mike Gundy, $1 million. Notice. There is a theme there, Jeffrey, and maybe it's coaches who are rolling have done this as well, but all the coaches who are mentioned in the Wall Street Journal story, Venables, Brian Kelly,
needed big years.
Norvell and Gundy, they all were, they were all on the hot seat. And they're all making massive amounts of money. Don't feel bad for them that they have to redirect some of their money to players, but they all are under pressure to win.
Yes.
And so that interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal there, but I'm with you. I they could have eaten it yesterday. I think there's a real chance that Arkansas game will be played. Then the question for Memphis is, the good news here is, listen, you don't want to lose a game against a power conference team, right? You don't want to lose that. But if you are going to lose a game, you want it to be a road game.
Yep.
And B, it's also, if you're going to be then adding a game, if you're going to replace it with a home game, you want it to be the year when you're unveiling your new stadium.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it works out. If you're getting an extra home game out of this at a time of hell, we talked yesterday about season tickets and attendance and everything else. I think they could, one thing that you should do is see who else is losing games.
Yep.
Right? Like, there will be other teams playing power conference schools that are losing games. And so
we had a listener point out that Louisville's on Georgia's schedule next year.
Well, there you go.
And Georgia obviously is going to play Georgia Tech, and they're going to have to get rid of one of the games.
If they get rid of Louisville, let's get Louisville. And I don't know if you get Louisville in here, but how great would that be? So I actually don't think this was at all cataclysmic for the University of Memphis. Did you?
No, I did not. Like, like you said, they could have canceled it yesterday. We've seen teams in the SEC that have been canceling series because of this. They did not cancel it.
And then finally, we'll talk more about this. Is the Ole Miss game one that you include in your wagers?
I've not.
You're not including it?
No, because I think the entire world's on Ole Miss, and I still don't think Kentucky can score enough to take them. And I still have questions about Ole Miss's offensive line.
And obviously, so what's the line now?
9.
The line is 9. The last, 4 games have been decided by 3 points or less?
Yes.
Last 4 games, 3 points or less. And obviously Kentucky won the last one. you're not a big Zach Calzada guy.
No, I'm not.
So,
and I got a good look at his work last week.
He was terrible.
Yes.
So, of course, his journey was this. A&M, then Auburn, then he goes and lights it up at Incarnate Word. Did you ever see him at Incarnate Word?
No, I've seen his work elsewhere, though.
And then he comes back, and last
he did week, blackout and beat Alabama 1 year.
Last night for Toledo, 10 of
last
20.
Saturday, yeah.
Last Saturday, 10 of 20, last week, 10 of 23, 85, 83 yards
yeah.
against Toledo.
And he was worse.
He was not good.
Yes.
So you would, if you were to wager this, you would go ahead and lay the points, but you're not wagering.
I mean, in a picks column, I took Ole Miss to win, Kentucky to cover.
In a picks column, you took yeah. Ole Miss to win, Kentucky to cover.
Yeah.
How much peril do you think is here for Ole Miss? Man, this would be.
I mean, you're
this,
on the,
this would be an emotional disaster.
You're on the road with a young quarterback, and Kentucky, while their offense was god awful, they're still a physical football team that plays good defense, and they take away the big play, and Ole Miss, like the problem with Ole Miss last year was they were not able to run the football effectively while Kentucky's taking away the big play, and so you wind up in that slog. If they can run the football effectively, Lacy looked pretty good for them last week as a running back, then they'll be fine. Like, it's one of those games where Ole Miss can score more points that can, like, Ole Miss can score enough points that Kentucky can't catch them. I just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a true freshman, but it's a young quarterback making his first start, and he does have an ability to kind of put it up for grabs.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back, talk to Jason Smith next. Jason, like me, has the pleasure of talking about Leaders Credit Union, and I know that his son has an account there, and they get – my kids are too old for this now, so we don't do this, but they get money for grades, man. That's just one of the fun things that Leaders Credit Union does. It's fun, and it also gets people thinking about financial literacy as you're growing up. Like, in the end, we educate our kids in all kinds of ways. Educating them to deal with money is as important as a lot of things you're dealing with out there. And so credit to Leaders Credit Union for doing that. They're great in the community, but honestly, they're just a great financial institution to deal with for your own personal banking. So whether you're looking for a mortgage or a car loan, or whether you are fed up with your financial institution, I would recommend you at least take a look at Leaders. You can duck into the branch in Arlington. They got a brand new branch in Arlington. You can duck into the branch at Bartlett, as we did, setting up our accounts. But honestly, you can just download the app. The technology is unbelievably easy and just totally effortless, a pleasure to use. It is a credit union, and so they're not paying off stockholders. They're not every penny goes back into better services, better technology, and better rates. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Jason Smith on the other side, then Chris Harrington, then Jeffrey's going to make you rich. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason John, every single day from 11 till 2. Before anything else, our old friend Larry Ray, who was a legend as a sports writer in Memphis, covered preps for forever, also an outdoors writer, and then has done a radio show here at for Odyssey on the outdoors on Saturdays for a long time now. Folks are praying for him over on Facebook. The call has gone out for prayers for Larry because he has facing some serious health issues. And I know, I suspect did you ever work alongside Larry, Jason?
Never alongside, but, obviously was because Larry and JJ, Ganazzo,
yeah.
John Ganazzo were founders of Best of the Preps. And anybody who ever held down a preps role at the CA, you held a great reverence for those guys. JJ was still involved with the stats and everything else. And in between his time, you know, there's Redbirds and still involved in preps. But Larry, in and out, he'd come back honorary, coming back in a way, maybe give away an award or whatever. So we crossed paths many a time. And I've always had a great – I wasn't even an outdoors guy and would look over his outdoors section and just be in awe of how much he could throw together. And so, I mean, he could do page after page back in the day. And so he's always been just one of the workers, man. And I've always, you know, I've always tried to that's sort of been my, hey, if I'm going to make it in this biz, you better be a worker. And so for guys like Larry Ray that did it as long as him and were, you know, founders and of traditions that we've long followed, yeah, man, you love them. And so, and Larry would pop in on us, you know, at 929.
Yeah.
You know, with still doing this show now, peek his head in the door, said, man, I had to listen to you guys, man. Y'all doing great. And so you always got that encouraging word from him. He's one of those guys that was always pouring into YouTube.
Well,
so hopefully he comes through. Hopefully we can all pour into him right now. I'm with you on the prayers. I was one of the ones on Facebook, you know, praying. And, yeah, hopefully we can pour into him right now, get him strong again, and get him back on the radio.
Being a prep writer, and you were for a long time, it's an interesting thing because, and Larry was just like a part of the fabric, because once you're good at it, no one wants to promote you to do something else because you're so good at it and it's invaluable. And so like now, honestly, John Varlas has the same sort of like, he's so good at it. He knows everybody. You were so good at it. Larry was so good at it. It's about almost as much as anything in the world of sports writing. It's about relationships and so many relationships at so many different places. You don't just have to get along with the, you know, the handful of Grizzlies players and GMs and whatever else. You got to know a whole community. And Larry did that. And then one of the interesting things, I was talking to David Boyd, sports editor at the Daily Memphian, about Larry. And one of the interesting things about Larry is he has so many people in, I mean, if people believe in the power of prayer, you should have great hope for Larry because he has so many people in so many different communities. He's got the prep community that all knows him. He's got the outdoors community that all know and love him. And then he is a man of deep faith. And so he has his church community. It is, I don't know. It's, I've rambled now. I don't know if I have anything to add, but I'd been meaning to talk about him. And obviously we wish the best for him and his wife, Miriam. They've been a really important part of this community and they've been important over at Odyssey, as well. All right. Moving on. We were talking about this earlier. Jalen Carter obviously was baited into that spit, but paid a price, heavy price for it. And then as we were reflecting on it, I'm, of course, enraged that Jalen Carter ended up on the Eagles to begin with. Like, how the hell did he draft to 12? But it occurred to me that was a draft where the Bears, I even remember this, didn't you want the Bears to take Jalen Carter? They traded down or something in that draft and could have had him.
Yeah, we traded from 1 and gave Carolina the pick, traded down to 10. And after trading down to 10, that's where Carolina had been, I'm pretty sure. As Jalen Carter was falling because of the incident in college, in the car incident, yes, there was a point where I said, hope he falls to 10. Yes. I mean, that's because he had been a guy.
And
y'all
traded down again and picked the offensive tackle.
Did we? Is that what ended up happening?
We
ended up being behind Philly. I guess we did have a chance to get him if we traded back twice. I didn't remember the second trade back. But, yeah, I guess so. Because I guess Carolina had not come up from 10 to 1. But, I guess we had a chance there. I remember hoping that we would get him at 10, and that didn't occur. But I guess it had already happened where we had a chance to get him and skipped him. But he's one of those guys that you said, okay, well, there's some off-the-field concerns, but what if he cleans it up? The Titans, DT, Jeffrey Simmons, had the same concerns. Thing. And so we see these guys, they're usually, you know, we get one a draft, maybe it's one every two drafts, where they're an elite talent, would have been drafted top three, top five, but they have an off the field issue. And so,
Jeffrey considers those assets. He likes those guys.
On defense,
he likes those
guys.
Jeff
talks about them all the time, and he was one of those guys.
You don't
guys
have red that, flags. I've got red flags.
Believe me, I mean, when it came to going into this draft and whether I could have Jalen Carter or Darnell Wright, I was saying, let's get Jalen Carter and let's give it a chance and see if this guy can behave. And so that all, Stephen A. made the point. I mean, that all comes back on you last night. Nobody had talked about that because of the football player he had been, because of what Philly had done and what they had done with him. Nobody had talked about it since essentially the draft. And you bring it all back up with I don't care that you were baited. That happens in the NFL all the time.
Yep.
That happens in all of professional sports.
You can't do it.
That was so stupid. Still even being baited. You spit on him in front of the referee.
Crazy.
I mean, so you did. You lost your mind even in being baited, and it can't happen. I mean, you nearly cost yourself. They did not get one sack last night. You know, you could have cost your team the ball game completely. And yeah, man, it's inexcusable. So the NFL has to come down in the sense that, look, I think Dak spitting to bait him, whatever, if that's the case. It spit is nasty. It's inappropriate. We're going hard on brandishing guns and no sexual gestures. You got to come down on this, because to me, just this is the ultimate disrespect when you're talking about spitting on someone.
Well, you think he should pay the,
even spitting at them?
So he's got to sit out another game. You think?
Yeah, I think he should. I think the NFL should come down here. And so there's you come down on this and say, this is something we're just not going to tolerate. And it be a message to all, even to Dak, in terms of baiting him with spit. Pretty disgusting.
I just have a vested interest. I play the Chiefs next. I want him in the lineup.
I bet you do.
How are you feeling about your Bears? I saw on Sportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, there was a debate about whether they were talking about the who's on the no excuses team this year. They got no excuses. Should Caleb be on the no excuses team? There was a split. Evan's like, no. It's his first year with a real coach. He's not on the all no excuses team yet. And Lamar is on the all no excuses team, but Caleb isn't. Would you put him on the all no excuses team? And how do you feel about, obviously we got to, that's not till Monday night, but how do you feel about that matchup?
He can't be on the no excuses team. He's in the first year with a new coach, and he's coming off of a year where, and Jeffrey's right. I was listening to you guys. Eberflus is fine as a defensive coordinator. As a head coach, the Bears clearly had no plan for him. He had no business being the head coach. And so look at the way he was coached last year. And we're talking about, we got to be all in. There's more pressure on Caleb Williams than anybody because he's got a ton of weapons. He's in the second year of what's going to end up being a, 5-year deal. They pick up the option as a first round quarterback, as the number one pick. And so, no, all prep, no excuse team should be Lamar. It should be your man, Josh Allen. It should be guys that have to break through. It should be, at some point, and I guess now that they've traded Micah Parsons, we would have had Dak at this stage. It needed to be a guy like Dak Prescott, who you go out and get George Pickens for. Now, that's pre-Micah Parsons trade. A lot's changed with them. But it's those guys, right, who haven't broken through yet, who are on their second, on the big contracts and are being paid with the best of you. And in fact, being paid so much that it affects your salary cap and how you construct the rest of your team. Those should be the no excuse guys. Caleb's in year two. Sure, there's pressure on him as a number one pick. I'm not dismissing that whatsoever. And especially when you have guys like Jaden Daniels picked beneath you who take their team to the NFC Championship game.
What if you're outplayed Monday night by Jaden?
Come on. Yeah, I mean, sure, that turns it up. You, all of a sudden, you're saying, well, everybody in that draft, whoever, Drake May, I mean, everybody in that, it looks like they're better than Caleb Williams, but it is far too early. And the kid did not have a bad enough year last year. Like, I keep going down this path. You guys act like he threw for 2,000 yards and threw for 25 interceptions. 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 picks with an incompetent coaching staff. And so at one point, they were 4-2. And so, no, there's not. No excuse pressure for Caleb Williams, but there's absolutely pressure as the number one guy who everybody's looking at. Can you be the leader of this franchise? Because it sure looks like Jaden Daniels is that. It sure looks like Drake May's headed for that, and just about everybody else that you look at lately. And so, it shouldn't be on any no excuse team, but sure, there's pressure on Caleb Williams as the number one pick. There's been pressure on him since the day he was selected number one.
Jason, thank you very much. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Jason Smith every single day from 11 until 2. It's funny, that whole no-excuse team thing. Like, Josh Allen doesn't need an excuse. He's played great in the playoffs. Like, he's the difference between Josh Allen and Lamar, neither one has gotten there. Lamar, it's because of Lamar.
Yeah.
Josh had the lead with 13 seconds, and he wasn't on the
kickoff team.
He wasn't on the kickoff team. He wasn't on the field for those 13. He doesn't need an excuse. He needs a freaking defense, but he doesn't need an excuse. It's a totally different situation, which I do get. You ultimately, and I honestly think Lamar is much better positioned to go to the Super Bowl this year because I think he's got a much better team around him than
we've talked about it, though. It's like, it's kind of like, it's like, how do you define pressure? Or the like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, like, if you're the no excuse team, to me, it's like Lamar's on the no excuse team. What more do you need? They've put a great team around you.
Right. Lamar is sort of the example of the, and again, he doesn't need excuses in the regular season. He's been great, you know?
Yeah. Mr. Regular Season.
You know who else is on the no excuse team? Justin Herbert.
Well, I mean, come on. Some heroes.
He's captain.
Some heroes have been here.
Right,
some heroes have been preaching this.
You've been there.
Right. Everyone else is now starting to begrudgingly come to my side.
And so we'll see. And we'll see him tonight. Although, man, they lose Slater.
It's not fair. Herbert, everyone around it, him is never his fault.
I'm not letting Herbert off the hook for that. That is a blow
because he's an awesome football player.
And they were going to have maybe the best tackles in the league.
Also, I got to kind of begrudgingly tip the cap to a guy that waits till his divorce goes final to sign his big contract. He pulled a Spoelstra.
There you go. But also, by the way, we were talking about what a big night, great night last night was.
Yep.
It was a great night over at Crosstown for Memphis to the Mountain where that film premiered. It was a great night over at Memphis Soccer where they played Tennessee to a draw. It was a fun night on TV with Dallas and the Eagles. And I know you've been watching the U.S. Open. It was another epic night of U.S. Open tennis.
Hated that for Osaka. Dang it.
Are you anti-Osaka?
Oh, God. I get so much pleasure brooding against her.
Wow.
Ugh.
Listen to that.
Ugh.
All right. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. It is football season again in Memphis. And again, it is O'Call season. But when is it not O'Call season? But here's the thing. During football season, they've got Peter Millar shirts, quarter zips, and hoodies all in official NCAA registered colors. So now they don't have the logo, which you don't, let's say Alabama fans probably don't want it anyway, but like this way you can, you know, you're at the office on a Monday or a Tuesday. You don't necessarily want to be, you know, wearing and blazing your logo wear. These are classy, lovely. It's Peter Millar, man. Their quarter zips, their hoodies, their shirts from Memphis, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, all of that. But let's be honest, while you're in O'Call, you're going to pick up a sport coat or pick up some other sports. You know, you still need shorts. Tomorrow's going to be cooler, I think, actually. Today's going to be a little bit toasty, but we're not a shorts weather yet. So whatever you're wearing on top, pick up a new pair of shorts or slacks. The Brack slacks that I have are just the most comfortable, good-looking slacks I've ever worn in my life. They're fabulous. And then, of course, you swing by on them. Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, you find the same unbelievably helpful employees, the same stunning clothes, a place that is shopping the way it is meant to be. It is Oak Hall. Take a break. Grizzlies added a player. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about that when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.